Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, July 29th, 2016. And as usual, we'd like to thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. Arrested former freedom fighter Douglas Mahia faces charges of allegedly insulting President Mugabe. Harare set to cut off water supplies until Monday.
We are shutting down the Morton Jeffrey water treatment plant this evening at 8 and opening it at 8 on Monday morning. The primary reason is we want to retrofit some new equipment at Morton Jeffrey.
Mandela Washington Fellows wrap up the Young African Leaders Program with all eyes set on President Obama. And Hillary Clinton accepts a Democratic nomination, paving the way for a bruising battle with Republican Donald Trump. These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Residents of Harare, Rua and Norton will have a dry weekend beginning this evening until Monday morning as the City Council embarks on a massive rehabilitation of the Morton Jeffrey waterworks. Council spokesperson Michael Chideme tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that Kuwadzana Extension residents should brace for longer water cuts as the project is expected to run until the 7th of next month.
We are shutting down the Morton Jeffrey water treatment plant this evening at 8 and opening it at 8 on Monday morning. The primary reason is we want to retrofit some new equipment at Morton Jeffrey. This is under the ongoing rehabilitation program of the water treatment plant. We have done the bulk of the work at Morton Jeffrey, and now what remains is the finishing touches so that we can bring back the water treatment plant to its design capacity of around 340 megaliters a day. During the same period, we have extended the shutdown of water to Kuwadzana to until the 7th of August. This is also to allow for some work to be done on the main line that feeds Kuwadzana. During that period, we will be feeding the area with water bowsers, and we expect our residents to use the water that they have sparingly so that it can last them until the day we complete the renovations.
Is there any difference that residents can feel from the previous shutdowns as compared to this one?
Not necessarily, because it's just the same time period that we are going to shut down the water treatment plant. But we expect the situation of water supply to normalize. We start pumping on Monday morning, but we expect it to normalize by Wednesday.
And that was Harare City Council spokesman Michael Chideme in Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. Some Zimbabweans calling themselves concerned citizens have urged President Robert Mugabe's government to hand over power to a transitional authority which is expected to address the current social, economic and political crisis in the country. The group says Zimbabwe faces social unrest and possibilities of becoming a failed state if a transitional authority is not set up. It further says the transitional authority will be able to lead Zimbabwe through a period of key social and political reforms and economic stabilization before the holding of free and fair elections. One of the proponents of this political arrangement is Dr. Ibo Mandaza, an academic and director of a local think tank, the Southern African Political and Economic Series Trust, or SAPES. Is it possible to set up such an authority in Zimbabwe? For Perspective, Studio 7 Skips, Dube reached ZANU-PF activist Nick Mangwana and human rights lawyer Dewa Mavinga. Mangwana says that these proposals are just a pie in the sky.
There is no provision for what they are calling for in the Constitution. It doesn't exist. The only time when Zimbabwe was put in such a mode was in 1979 to 1980, in recent times, when we're moving from the old Rhodesian constitution to a new constitutional dispensation. Now, in 2013, which was what the benchmark was, we got a new constitution. A government was elected, and it's in motion. There are new elections in about 3 years' time. So I'm not sure where they're getting these very fine ideas, because the only way the current government can be dissolved is through ZANU-PF processes. One, if the president is impeached, or if the president dissolves parliament. Mm. Besides that, there is no provision in the constitution.
Mr. Mavinga, Mr. Mangwana is saying there is no constitutional provision for that kind of arrangement.
I agree that there is no constitutional provision for a national transitional authority, but there is certainly scope for such a mechanism, given the developments that are ongoing in the country that are pointing to some kind of implosion. What you do not want to have is a vacuum or some kind of justification for a military coup. So there is need for people to be prepared for the eventuality of establishing smooth transition that is not violent and that helps all the people of Zimbabwe to be secure in their rights. But such a national transitional authority should be people-driven in the sense of being inclusive in terms of local groups, in terms of civil society, opposition parties, trade unions, church leaders, who are non-partisan, but who have a stake and a constituency that is identifiable. Certainly, it must not be an elitist project that are not representative of the people of Zimbabwe.
In such an arrangement, Mr. Mangwana, do you see ZANU-PF being called to participate? And can we have any person that is actually neutral?
This is an academic discussion, pure academic, because it has no legs. This constitution that I'm referring back to, it's legislated for every scenario. This scenario does not exist because the government has not failed. That's point number one. Point number two, to get this constitution, it took us 4 years of negotiation. After the people had said whatever they had said, we still had to negotiate for about 4 years to come up with this constitution. Now, to even have a transitional authority, as you are putting it, it will take a very long time of horse trading. Completely, when that vacuum you are talking about, well, what our comrade in my finger is talking about, will be sustaining. Because it's going to be a big fight to negotiate. The GNU, one might point, you know how long it took. Washman Nule and Honorable Chinamasa had been talking roughly from around 2000 to when the GNU came into place in 2009. So we will not be able, right now, he's already setting criteria as it will be this person or that person or that person or that person. So ZANU-PF would want their people, MDC would want their big persons there, the churches would want their persons, some pastor, they would want a judge. It's not going to work. The only constitutional process that is known for putting people in power is through an election. Nobody's talking of any coups here. So let's not be alarmistic. The moment you move like that, you have to suspend the constitution just as much as if Zimbabwe was to have a coup, which is not going to happen. The constitution has to be suspended.
Mr. Mavinga, as you're hearing here, Mr. Mangwana is saying this is just a dream, you know? It will never happen.
Well, it is not as far-fetched as Comrade Mangwana is saying, because look, Zimbabwe is in crisis, and the crisis levels are escalating on a daily basis. The internal contradictions in ZANU-PF, you know, key pillars around Mugabe that are falling apart, the war veterans challenging Mugabe to step down, the economic crisis where the government is perpetually failing to pay civil servants, the ongoing protests across the country, that shows that things are not right.
And that was ZANU-PF activist Nick Mangwana. You also heard Dewa Mavinga, a human rights lawyer and independent political analyst. Both spoke with Studio 7 Skips Dube. For a longer version of this interview, please visit us at www.voazimbabwe.com. three Mandela Washington Fellows from Zimbabwe who were doing business and leadership studies at the William and Mary University in Virginia completed their programs yesterday alongside 22 other youths from various African countries. And across America, other fellows are wrapping up their programs today ahead of their victory lap to Washington for a final summit with President Barack Obama next week. Studio 7's Ntungameli Nkomo reports.
Zimbabwean fellows who graduated from the William and Mary University in Virginia yesterday are journalist, filmmaker, and human rights activist Terry Mutswanga, African Union Commission gender consultant Tinashe Mutsonziwa, and Abel Chemura, a lecturer at the Chinoy University of Technology. The three kept their fellowship with speeches at an ideas summit, where they emphasized the need for young people to step up the plate and shape their own destinies. Speaking after the ceremony, Mutsonga told Studio 7 the knowledge he has acquired from the six-week fellowship is invaluable. He says while the U.S. has its own dark past in terms of observing human rights, the country is a shining beacon of freedom.
I think I admired how the founding fathers of the United States had a vision to build this country. The likes of Thomas Jefferson, James Monroe, and James Madison. These founding fathers had a vision about 200 years ago. Although they had their bedside of slavery, a history that actually tainted their CV, but they had a vision to build this nation great. The constitution that the United States is using was drafted in 1787, and up to now it still stands. So that's one of the things that I emulate, although they had this dark side of slavery.
Mutsonga says Zimbabwe should do more on human rights, adding the alleged abduction and disappearance of political activist Itai Dzamara does not bode well for the country.
I think the playing field is not fair. We have got constitutions, for instance, in Zimbabwe, we've got one of the best documents, but our government is not willing to grant citizens the right to exercise or to participate in the democratic process through exercising their basic rights that are enshrined in the constitution. So I think we have to improve, to know that with a constitution, we can build a nation, we can build societies. What I emulate from here in the United States is that there are systems in place, they actually put checks and balance.
Chinoy lecturer and environmentalist Chemura also says he returns to Zimbabwe next week a better person and a better leader, thanks to the Mandela Washington Fellowship. In his graduation speech, Chemura talked about a coffee project that he is working on, seeking to connect markets with technology. The three fellows will gather in Washington starting Sunday, together with the nearly 1,000 fellows from various African countries who are also graduating today at their institutions of learning. Altogether, there are about 60 fellows from Zimbabwe. I'm Ntungameli Nkomo for VOA Studio 7 in Virginia.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up, the Zimbabwe netball team is qualified for the 2017 World Cup as Zimbabwe's Olympic team arrives in Brazil. And of course, we have Ja Preza in the house. But wait a little bit before we give you that story. We take a look at regional and international news. A committee that raises campaign funds for Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives has been hacked, its spokesperson confirmed today. The hack of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee resembles a similar one earlier this week, which targeted the Democratic National Committee. The two are located in the same building in Washington, D.C. Hillary Clinton accepted her nomination as the Democratic Party's presidential candidate for the November 2016 U.S. presidential election by making an all-embracing speech that included an appeal for once-bitter rival Bernie Sanders supporters to help her to be voted the first female American president. Our reporter Chiwaniso Jani has more details.
Her speech touched various topics ranging from household problems to climate change, LGBTQ issues, police conflicts with local communities, America's relation with other nations, democracy, war on terror, rival Donald Trump, and other issues.
Yes, the world is watching what we do. Yes, America's destiny is ours to choose. So let's be stronger together, my fellow Americans. Let's look to the future with courage and confidence. Let's build a better tomorrow for our beloved children and our beloved country. And when we do, America will be greater than ever.
Clinton is now expected to start nationwide campaigns before engaging in party debates with Donald Trump, who trashed her speech. In a tweet 2 hours ago, Trump said, quote, "Crooked Hillary Clinton mentioned me 22 times in her very long and very boring speech. Many of her statements were lies and fabrications. Crooked Hillary said that I couldn't handle the rough and tumble of a political campaign. Really? I just beat 16 people and am beating her." End quote. Some Zimbabweans say they are happy with the process of selecting a United States president, in which the people, all the Demos, have a big say in the presidential primaries. They say the nomination of a woman candidate by the Democratic Party is likely to encourage Zimbabwean women to seek nomination for the presidential race in 2018 in the Southern African nation. Already two women, former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, who leads the Zimbabwe People First, and Maslene Chikasha of the Zimbabwean African Democratic Party, are likely to contest the 2018 general elections. Zimbabwean Chioneso Mphofu, who lives in USA, says the nomination of Clinton is a move in the right direction for women in the world.
She's the best person for the job. I'm really proud of that, because when you look at where and see where we came from, where we could not even vote, where we didn't even have a say in our own homes, we are at a stage where we are saying, oh my God, God is great. This is just an improvement. This is just, it's just empowering.
Expectations are high that Clinton, who appears to be a favorite among many Zimbabweans, would fight for the dismantling of authoritarian rule in some countries. Reporting from Studio 7 in Washington, this is Chiwaniso Jani.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington, and we are broadcasting on 909 medium wave and on the 4930-5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. Ambassador to Iraq Stuart Jones and Iraq's Minister of Trade Salman al-Jumaili signed a Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, in mid-July on the purchase and supply of U.S. rice for the Iraqi public distribution system. Millions of Iraqis will benefit from the high-quality and competitively priced rice from the United States. In signing the MOU, the ambassador affirmed the U.S. Embassy's intention to promote awareness of the ministry's rice tenders with U.S. rice suppliers that can best meet the needs of the Iraqi market. This agreement is a positive outcome of the Trade and Investment Framework Agreement between the Government of the United States of America and the Government of the Republic of Iraq concerning the development of trade and investment relations. The MOU will be operative for 6 months, with the possibility of renewal. Ambassador Jones said, This MOU represents a win-win for Iraq and the United States and is a sign of how our two countries can strengthen commercial ties to the ultimate economic benefit of both our peoples. The ambassador added, the U.S. Embassy is committed to providing technical assistance to enhance Ministry of Trade officials' expertise with respect to purchasing agricultural products on the international market.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Arrested Information Secretary of the Zimbabwe National Liberation War Veterans Association, Douglas Mahia, has appeared in a Harare court facing charges of allegedly insulting President Robert Mugabe. The organization's Secretary General, Victor Matemadanda, is facing similar allegations after they decided to dump President Mugabe last week. At the same time, former Vice President Joyce Mujuru has taken Mr. Mugabe to court over a statutory instrument banning the importation of basic commodities and other goods. Reporter Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
State Attorney Tapiwa Kasema told the court that Mahia allegedly insulted President Mugabe through a communique that was released by his association last week before remand proceedings could start. Defense lawyer Harrison Nkomo applied for the withdrawal of charges and immediate release of the top freedom fighter, saying he had been brought to court illegally as the state had not obtained a certificate of prosecution from the prosecutor general as required by law in cases of such a nature. Nkomo confirmed that Magistrate Vakai Chikwekwe dismissed the application.
We proceeded with the remand proceedings, and we, as the defense, had raised an objection that it is a requirement of the law that if you are charging someone with crimes against the state, especially the head of state, it's a requirement that the prosecutor general signs a particular certificate before remand proceedings can commence. That was not done. The objection was upheld by the magistrate, used his discretion and said and gave the state until 11:15 on March. We are proceeding with the bail proceedings tomorrow at 9 o'clock here.
Meanwhile, the case continues in court tomorrow when the magistrate is expected to deliver his ruling on the bail application that was filed by the defense team. After the court session, some war veterans who attended today's court session in solidarity with Mahia sang revolutionary songs at the court entrance, demanding his immediate release. The War Veterans Body issued a hard-hitting statement last week calling on President Mugabe to address economic issues affecting Zimbabweans. The War Veterans Body also called on Mr. Mugabe to choose a successor, adding that they would not campaign for him in the 2018 elections because of his advanced age. In another matter, former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, who leads the newly formed Zimbabwe People First Party, today took Mr. Mugabe to court over his government's introduction of a statutory instrument that bans the importation of basic commodities and other goods. This is Thomas Chiripasi.
In sports news, Zimbabwe's under-21 netball side has made history by qualifying for next year's World Cup for the first time. The team registered 5 consecutive wins at the ongoing Africa qualifiers in Gaborone, Botswana. Meanwhile, the Zimbabwe Olympic Games team is safely at its Olympics village in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Reporter Michael Cariati gives us the story.
Zimbabwe sent its biggest ever contingent to the Olympic Games with 13 athletes and 18 soccer players out to do better than in 2012 when the team returned home empty-handed. Although there are some familiar faces from the 2012 London Games and others before, there are newcomers in the form of women's marathon runner Rutendo Nyahora, archer Gavin Sunderland, equestrian Camille Kruger, sprinter Tatenda Chumba, and marathon runner Patson Lovu, who are making their maiden appearance. The chairman of the Sports and Recreation Commission, Edward Swela, says they are not setting the team any targets, but have told the athletes to go out there and do their best.
Despite the daunting tasks facing our athletes, the fact that they have qualified, they've done this country proud, and I hope that as they go out there, what is important is that they will give the competitions their best.
Mighty Warriors coach Shadrick Mlauzi says his team is ready for the so-called big guns of international women's football.
We've analyzed each and every opponent. All players know what we're up against, and we can certainly say we'll be up there and compete with them.
After a seventh place finish at the last games, Joao has refused to promise much, but says he will give out his best. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Today, we are featuring musician Ja Preza, who's right here in the USA, and he talks to Marvelous Nyahuye Mtlanga.
We came to do shows, so yeah, we're looking forward to it, and we're so excited. We're gonna play some of our songs from our new upcoming album that we're gonna launch on the 12th of August, and they should expect fireworks, nothing but fireworks.
What is this new album called?
The album called Ndero Chawe.
What made you write that song?
We just want to leave it in suspense, whatever.
What would you say has been your biggest hit to date that your fans can look forward to?
Yeah, I'm sure everyone is expecting Ariza tonight, and we're going to play Ariza.
Talking about your group, who did you bring with you? We always see you, you're energetic, you have, you know, dancers that really light up the flag. Who did you bring on board to this tour?
Oh, yeah, I came with my entourage, Baba Harare, Stimela, Mazunza, Wesi, Big Man. Yeah, oh, yeah.
So give us a snippet of some of the sounds that your fans can expect.
Hello, hello. I want to do this way. Pero, pero. So go down with a root on the road. Ringero, ringero. Do long with a root. Chigero, chigero. 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 Chigero.
Inspired you to write that song? What is it about?
It's just a love song.
Okay, because you've mentioned Ariza, I think that your fans out there are waiting to just hear a snippet of Ariza from the original singer. If you can just sing it for us a little bit.
Oh, okay.
That was the musician Ja Preza speaking with Studio 7, some Marvelous Mtlanga Nyahuye. He's right here in the US performing. And now we give you a quick recap of today's top stories. Arrested former freedom fighter Douglas Mahia faces charges of allegedly insulting President Mugabe. And Harare is set to cut off water supplies until Monday. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 News in Ndebele.